Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Ramadan FAQs, where we are answering your questions during the month of Ramadan. So, alhamdulillah, we've been having the program every single day, where folks are sending in their questions and we are, you know, trying our best to answer those questions, inshallah, bidnillah. So, as always, as we get started into the questions, inshallah, wanted to request you all to take note of a couple of things here at the beginning, and I'll remind you at the end as well. This weekend, inshallah binillah, the 27th night of Ramadan, which will be basically be Saturday night going into Sunday. That night, we're going to be having the annual Qalam Qiyam program. We're going to be having our annual Qalam Qiyam. And alhamdulillah, it's a really beautiful program we have every single year. And so, inshallah, it's going to be this weekend, the 27th night of Ramadan. And the whole program will be streamed and be provided online, as always, you know, open, available, free, accessible to anyone, to everyone. The best place to probably tune into the program is on the Qalam YouTube channel. But if you go to QalamLive.com, what you'll be able to find there is you'll be able to schedule a calendar event. You'll be able to schedule a reminder for yourself. So inshallah, the night of the program, as the program is starting up, you'll be notified that it is time for the program. So please make a note of that. We really look forward to having everyone there Saturday night online, inshallah, for the Qalam Qiyam, the 27th night program, inshallah. Okay, and as always, go to supportqalam.com to support the work that Qalam is doing and the programs that we continue to provide for people everywhere. So inshallah, please go to supportqalam.com and help us keep these programs going. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into answering some questions. So as always, I'm going to start with the fasting related questions. Why? Because it's relevant to the month of Ramadan. Somebody asked the question, is it okay to cry during fasting? Yes, it is okay to cry while fasting. It will not affect the validity of your fasting. It will not affect, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know exactly why the person was asking. Maybe they're asking because, you know, are the tears maybe kind of like going into their mouth and whatnot. So ideally, you want to try to not swallow, you know, a lot of your own tears, which I don't know if that'd be difficult or easy to do. I wouldn't know because I've never cried quite that much, at least not while I was fasting. So, but in any case, it does not affect the validity of your fast. Okay, somebody asks, if traveling during Ramadan and there is a time difference, when do you break your fast? You break your fast based off of sunset, where you are at the time of sunset, right? Wherever, if you're physically somewhere and the sun is setting, your fast is over, okay? Very good. The next question that we have about fasting is, if someone sleeps through the Maghrib Adhan while fasting, does the fast break automatically? Or does this person need to formally break the fast after waking up? They need to formally break the fast when waking up. Why? Yes, fasting is till Maghrib, but fasting is also a state and a condition. So لابد من الإفطار بالمفطرات, right? The person should break that fast using something that is not allowed while fasting. So drink some water, eat a date, so on and so forth, right? So the person should do it. And again, while sleeping, if a person kind of sleeps through it and they didn't really, you know, maybe they fell asleep and, you know, they kind of slept through it, that's understandable. But otherwise, a person should be careful to be diligent during that time. And you don't want to fall asleep. You don't want to deliberately go sleep at times like this. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. Okay. So someone's asking a question online saying they have multiple teachers who teach them the deen. What should I do if two of my teachers have taught me different rulings? Both are accepted in mainstream Islam. Both are valid opinions. How do I know what to follow? This is in regards to reciting Quran during the menses. That's a very good question. Look, at the end of the day, at some level, at some point, you have to practice your own discretion. Like even the fact that you have these two teachers, you practice your discretion in arriving at those teachers and taking knowledge from those teachers. So you have to practice your own discretion, right? Islam at the end of the day, لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. No soul bears the burden of another soul. So we all have to stand before Allah. We all have to answer to Allah. So if you're getting two different answers from two trustworthy sources, and both are very broadly held positions in, like you said, mainstream Islam, they're both valid positions, then in that case, which one do you incline towards? Whichever one you incline towards. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab, and Allah knows best. Okay? The next question that we have a few questions here that are a little bit more Ramadan related. Okay, they are a little bit more generally Ramadan related. Someone's asking, what does it mean to catch Laylatul Qadr? Okay, is it a specific second? No, it's not. It's a whole night. And what it means to catch, I'm not really sure, but I think that you have suffered the consequence of Muslim translation. Okay, a lot of times we use words in English that nobody else uses, right? So it seems like that's what you have been affected by is Muslim translation. Okay, but worry not, it just simply means that you were able to worship on the night of Laylatul Qadr. Okay, someone else is asking, if we go by the moon, does that mean that some years the last 10 nights will only be 9 nights? Yes, that is correct. Because you can only retrospectively know what the last 10 nights were. All right? You can only retrospectively know what the last 10 nights were, right? In the sense of you find out at the end of the month, were there 29 days or 30 days, right? So that's when you would know, okay, yeah, 21st night or 20th night as opposed to 19th night, etc. So that's why you just start observing from the, you know, you do not start observing from the 19th night. No, you do not. Right? There's no need to do that. Okay. We have a fasting related question. Should a woman make up her missed fast before fasting the 6 days of Shawwal? That is completely her choice. Right? Because, now pay attention very closely. Making up the missed fast of Ramadan is mandatory, but it's not mandatory on her to do it right away. She could, do one a month for the next 6, 8, 9 months, however many fasts you miss. Okay? So there's no deadline in that sense, at least not until the following Ramadan. So that's not a hard deadline, but still, right? She has like 11 months. Okay? But at the same and at the same time, the 6 fasts of Shawwal, they are not mandatory. They're recommended. They're recommended. They're very good. They're very virtuous. They're very beneficial, but they are not mandatory, right? And people always get kind of upset when someone says, well, they're not mandatory, but that's a fact that they're not mandatory. You can't change that. That's why fiqh is very important. And over here, we're addressing mostly fiqh questions. Okay. They are not mandatory. So which one should a woman do first? Whichever one she feels is more important. Maybe she understands what her life circumstances is, what her life circumstances are. If she's not confident that in the coming months she's going to have the opportunity to make up her fast, right now she's got the time and the strength to do so, then maybe just do make up your fast right now, because those are more technically important. Okay. But if she's pretty comfortable that, yeah, I can keep some fast, in the coming months and whatnot, but Shawwal is going to end in 30 days or 29 days, I'm going to start with Shawwal. That is also completely okay and understandable. So it just really depends on the person. Someone's asking a question. How sick does one have to be to not fast? Does it have to be something chronic, or can an acute sickness be enough not to fast, such as a virus or flu or temperature? Okay. So if you just don't feel well, like even an acute sickness, like you said, flu or a temperature, you can skip fasting that day that you're not feeling well, the days you're not feeling well, and you'll just make up those days afterwards, after Ramadan. Okay. The chronic illness is relevant when someone is just not going to fast anymore at all. They're just going to pay a dollar amount, $10 a day, in exchange for every fast, but they're not going to be fasting anymore. Right. So those are two different situations. All right. But if you have an acute sickness or an illness, you can be excused from fasting. You'll just have to make up those days after Ramadan is over and when you feel better, inshallah, bidnillah. Okay, the next question is, I struggle to read the Quran and I am not a fluent reciter. To help with my recitation, I sometimes listen to a favorite Qari on YouTube and recite alongside while following the text from the Mus'haf. Is this an appropriate way of doing the Khatam of the Quran? It is one of the acceptable ways to complete a reading of the Quran. Yes, it is. All right. What other options would you suggest for someone like me to do a Khatam during Ramadan, especially? I think that's a very good solution. Listening, Al-Qari wa Sami'a fiha sawa. Right, you get the reward of listening to the Quran as well, but you're kind of combining, like almost like reading and following along. I think that's a very beautiful solution, and I would recommend that you keep on doing that. All right. Someone's asking, will dry swallowing a medicine pill break one's fast? Yes, it will, because you have ingested something that goes to the stomach, so that will absolutely break your fast. The next question is, I was wondering how we should approach worship on the even nights of the last 10 nights. I've been trying to shed as many work responsibilities as possible so I can sleep during the day and stay up all night, because I know it's sunnah, but I haven't been able to get in as much daytime sleep as I hoped. And the lack of sleep is starting to give me constant lightheadedness and brain fog that I never felt while fasting the rest of the month. Alhamdulillah. Is there a less reward if we take sleeping breaks at night? No, there's no less reward. I want to push myself to do as much as I can and not make excuses for myself. And I'm struggling to know when I'm just making an excuse for temporary comfort rather than something being an actual limit. May Allah reward you. And I want to commend you for that attitude and that mindset of you're not trying to make excuses for yourself. I talk about this quite often. This is one of the biggest issues that affects our community spiritually, is that when we are just constantly making excuses for ourselves. So that's great and fantastic to hear that you're not falling into that trap. Number two, the second thing that I will mention here is quality over quantity. I don't want to discourage you from worshiping all night, but quality over quantity. If due to quantity, your quality is starting to suffer, where like you said, lightheadedness and brain fog, I'll give you an example. Something, in my younger years, mistakes that I've made, where you're like pushing yourself to stay up so much that then you're sitting there and you're just knocked out like this. You're just sitting there dozed off. I mean, you're not really getting much out of that kind of an exercise, right? You're not getting much out of that moment. So quality over quantity. So if you sleep for a little bit and then wake up and pray, there's nothing wrong with that. Totally valid. And honestly, a lot of times a really, really good idea. Okay. We have some questions in regards to zakat, sadaqah, some of the money related matters. Someone is asking the question, can I give sadaqah in the name of a family member? can I give sadaqah in the name of a family member if I am in a better financial position than that family member? Yes, you may. Yes, you can. All right? You can always, financial, like good deeds, like sadaqah, charity, you can always do it on somebody else's behalf. All right? Okay, someone's asking, how exactly does the giving of fidya work? Does it have to be done only one during the month of Ramadan, or can it be done any time of the year? How is it calculated? So it should be done sooner rather than later. The calculation of it is, it's about $10 per day that you are not able to fast. And the sooner you do it, the better it is. Do it in the month of Ramadan. That is the best and most ideal. Wallahu ta'ala alam. And you can pay it all at once, and you can almost kind of like give it in advance. Like at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, you can go ahead and give, all $300 if you're somebody who has a terminal chronic kind of illness and you won't be able to fast. The next question that we have is, if it's the time of year to pay zakat, could one split it across the last 10 nights and have that count as a good deed? Or is giving in these last 10 nights meant for sadaqah only? No, it could absolutely be spread across that as well. Absolutely. It is not restricted only to sadaqah. You could end up giving your zakat and kind of compounding your reward in that sense, theoretically. All right. Someone asked another question here. I try and give small amounts of sadaqah regularly, both during and outside the month of Ramadan. Unfortunately, I can only afford to give a small amount, and I feel bad when I see others who have donated in the hundreds of thousands. I also have people tell me that fundraising events online are often not genuine and are scams to get people's money. How can I be sure that the money I'm donating is being spent well? Should I even be bothered about looking into it, or just have trust that I have done my part? So there are a lot of questions in there, okay? But they're all very, very good questions. So let's try to answer them. Someone is saying, first of all, I try and give a small amount of sadaqah regularly, both during and outside the month of Ramadan. خَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَامُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. Our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best of deeds are the ones that are done most consistently, even if they be very little. So that is fantastic. That is a good thing. Okay, someone saying, I can only afford to give a small amount, and I feel bad when I see others have donated in the hundreds of thousands. Remember, it is the quality, not the quantity. I said that earlier in the Q&A, quality over quantity. Okay. And also, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Save yourself from the fire of hell, even if it be with half of a date. Okay? So never underestimate the good. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Never ever underestimate any good that you are able to do. All right? The next question is, someone told me that fundraising events online are often not genuine and are scams to get people's money. So, could there be some that are not genuine? Could there be some that are scams? Absolutely. I mean, in the words of Kevin Garnett, anything is possible. All right. But at the same time, though, it is a very wildly, sweepingly broad generalization to say that most of the time, often, right? That's what they are. Most of them, that's what they are. That is a very broad statement that has no basis, that has no evidence, that has no proof. All right. So rather, one, we need to always find the balance between precautiousness, doing your due diligence, being smart, but also not falling into paranoia. Not falling into paranoia. Okay. So the person saying, should I be bothered about looking into it? I think so, to an extent, yes. You should know where you are giving your money, where you are giving your donations, right? So I can mention to you, there are organizations that we partner with, Helping Hand, Penny Appeal. These are good organizations. Beitul Mal, these are good organizations. And you can give there, right? There you go. You have some verification now, okay? And if you are giving, that's for your zakat, right? If you're giving like sadaqah and donations and extra charity for extra reward, I mean, if you are getting your knowledge from an institution like Qalam, you're learning your religion there, then the logic would dictate that you could trust them with your contributions and your donations as well, right? So, you know, it's just a matter of looking into things and knowing exactly where you're giving your money and not falling into this pattern of paranoia. Nothing good, nothing helpful ever comes from paranoid kind of behavior. Wallahu ta'ala alam bis-salam. Okay. The next question is, who can I give zakat to? And do I have to explicitly say that it is zakat? Who you can give it to, there are 8 categories. I've been mentioning this every day. If you go to qalam.institute/Ramadan resources, you will find there the very, you know, detailed, thorough, but at the same time, you know, very concise fiqh of zakat seminar, webinar, the full recording of it that was taught by Mufti Hussein Kamani, one of our instructors here at Qalam. So if you go through that, it'll take about an hour and a half of your time. But if zakat is mandatory on you, that's something you need to do. Okay? So please take a look at that. But there are 8 categories. And do I have to explicitly say that it is zakat? No, you do not. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. No, you do not have to explicitly mention that it is zakat. So if you have, let's say, somebody in your community, you have a relative, a cousin or an uncle or someone that is eligible to receive zakat, needs for that financial assistance. So you decide to give it there. But for the sake of just, you know, their dignity and your relationship, you don't want to be like, here is zakat. You don't want to do that. You just basically say, I'm just going to drop off something. That would be totally okay and completely fine and absolutely allowed. And it would count for your zakat. Yes, it would. Okay. Let's see here. Someone's asking the question that for women who choose to do, first is, what are your best tips to get through each night so you have a good structure to get quality worship done and not feel bad for getting rest? There's so many. I mean, it just depends on what works for you. I will tell you what works for me. After Taraweeh, coming home, I usually am pretty kind of alert and awake, you know, going out and praying Taraweeh and whatnot. I get very alert and awake. So I can't go to sleep right away. So I will use that time to recite Quran and make dua. And then I'll get a little bit of rest. And then I'll wake up about an hour before Fajr time. And even if I plan to have suhood, takes like 15, 20 minutes. So that gives me a good half an hour to, again, pray, make dua. All right. So that's kind of a structure that I have. And I try to keep that structure all throughout the month of Ramadan. I know that can be challenging for a lot of folks, but wallahu ta'ala, that's just a humble recommendation. All right. For women who choose to do i'tikaf at home, what are the rules they must observe? Are they allowed to leave their room? You are allowed to leave, but you want to minimize You want to minimize the time that you are outside of the room. Okay, and there are two opinions. There's the opinion of Abu Hanifa. There's the opinion of his two students, the Sahibain. The opinion of Abu Hanifa is a little bit stricter, so you never want to be outside of your room for more than like 20 minutes at a time. And the position of his students, Sahibain, Abu Yusuf, Qadi Abu Yusuf, and Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani, rahimahumallahu ta'ala, is that you could be outside of your room as long as you were not outside of there for a significant portion of the day, like 4 or 5 hours continuously. Then you have not violated your itikaf. So those are two opinions. They're both valid, but just trying to minimize your time. We have another question here. We have some more questions about salah, about prayer, okay? Can one offer nawafil prayer at any time of the day, for instance, as a means of expressing gratitude? Generally speaking, yes. However, you do want to be careful that there are generally there are about 5 times during the day that you're not supposed to pray. Number one, once you've finished praying Fajr, until sunrise, you do not pray during that time. Number two, you do not pray while the sun is rising. Number three, you do not pray at the time of the zenith. Number four, after you have finished Asr prayer, until sunset, in that window, you do not pray. Salah. You can read Quran, make dua, everything, but you don't pray salah. And number five, you don't pray while the sun is setting. Okay? So outside of those brief moments, yes, technically you could pray at any other time, all right? Zenith is the sun when it is at its highest point, high noon, okay? If I have years of prayers to make up, what should my intention be? So we talked about this yesterday as well, where the general rule is you make up for prayers that you missed. However, I also talked about that if somebody has such an inordinate amount, like they have 15,000 prayers to make up, what do you do, all right? Well, how do you handle that kind of situation, all right? So in that particular scenario, I talked about how the first thing you want to do is stop missing prayers. You're not going to miss another prayer. Get on top of your 5-time daily prayer. And then just try to, you know, make up one prayer a day and then just have that as a schedule you're going to be on for the rest of your life. Just one extra prayer a day, something to that effect. That's a recommendation I would have. Wallahu ta'ala alam, and Allah knows best. All right. Okay, someone's mentioning a very interesting scenario. The masajid in my area, the masjids in my area do not make adhan synchronously. All right. Which means like they don't all do it at the same time. For example, there is one masjid that makes adhan about 15 minutes earlier than the others. The thing is, I drank water during the first adhan. Is it possible that the masjid really made a mistake and that I don't have to follow them? If I think so, would my fast still be valid? Look, at the end of the day, if the adhan, so I would advise you to, from now on, kind of look into it a little bit. All right, what is the actual time of the beginning of Fajr? So you can keep track of that time. All right, and that'll give you a better idea and you'll make less of these kinds of, you know, you'll have less confusion in this way. Okay, number one. Number two, but at the same time, a person's hearing an adhan. So as long as there was another adhan after you drank water, you should be okay. Wallahu ta'ala alam, Allah knows best, but that fast should be fine. Okay. Someone's asking if an odd night falls on Friday, is it closer to being Laylatul Qadr than other nights? There's nothing that says anything to that effect. Wallahu ta'ala alam, Allah knows best. Can you pray Salatul Janazah between those times, like around like 11 a.m.? There's a difference of opinion. Some of the scholars say you could, right? The Hanabila, the Hanbali school, the Shafi'i schools, yes, you could do Janazah prayer during that time. The Hanafi school, the Maliki school says, don't do it during that time. It's such a brief, small amount of time that you can just do it before or right after it. So it's not a huge deal, all right? Okay, let's see here some more questions. Can one offer nawafil prayer at any, we answered that. If I have years, we talked about that as well. Okay. So we have a couple of questions here about dua. Okay. I have several non-Muslim friends who I deeply care about. Can I make dua for them? What kind of dua can I make for them? Absolutely, you should be making dua for them. And the dua you should make for them is that may Allah bring them to Islam. May Allah guide them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open their hearts to Islam. May Allah give them the light and the guidance of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make, you know, open their hearts to recognizing and worshiping Allah and recognizing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the dua that you should make. And make it meaningfully and make it powerfully. And, you know, may Allah accept your prayers. Someone asked another question about dua. There are many scholars online that do beautiful duas. Can I just listen to those and say ameen? Yeah, technically you could. Does it count? Why not? All right. I know I should make my own du'as. You should. But I can't say things so eloquently, even in my own language. That is not a requirement of a good or valid du'a. It's not. In fact, there's a narration that says, كَرِهَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ السَّجَعَ فِي الدُّعَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, was not very keen on people making very, you know, trying to make all their du'as rhyme and things like that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually not a fan of that. All right. So, if anything, you know, having a more simple, humble kind of du'a is actually a good thing. All right. It's actually a good thing. It's not a problem at all. So, don't be, you know, disheartened that, oh, I'm not very good making dua and my dua is not very valid, et cetera, et cetera. Don't kind of do that. Don't get into your own head in that regard, but rather know that what makes a good dua is your sincerity, your humility, your devotion, your dedication, your commitment, your insistence in your dua. Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. All right. So focus on, you know, just the connection that you have to Allah in your dua, and don't undermine. But what I was going to say is that try, and they said sometimes I read from duas I have pre-written, but then it doesn't feel heartfelt. That's why I recommend combining between all three things. Maybe you listen to some dua and you say ameen along with it. Then number two, you're reading from somewhere and making some du'as, and then leave a little time to just kind of talk from your heart. Combine everything together, inshallah, and that'll be very fulfilling, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, so those were a couple of questions about du'a. I'm going to quickly try to see if I can answer some more of the questions that are coming in. If we miss many years of zakat payments and have no way of knowing how much we needed to pay each year, how to make up for those years of missed zakat? That's a very, very good question. I know that this is not going to seem very fulfilling, but basically you try to guesstimate. Just try, right? That's all we can do. We can just guesstimate, all right? And you just try to kind of round, you know, just average out, just guesstimate, and then round up a little bit and just donate. And inshallah, Allah will accept, you know, your sincerity. Someone's asking a question, is fidya for missed fast from previous years required in addition to making up the fast? Fast that weren't made up before the next Ramadan? There's a difference of opinion, okay? Some scholars say that if you do not make it up by the next Ramadan, you've got to make those up and add fidya. However, some scholars say that you do not have to add on the fidya. Again, both are totally valid positions. I will share my recommendation. My recommendation is you just have to make them up. You do not have to make them up plus pay fidya on top of them. Wallahu ta'ala alim bisawab, and Allah knows best. Sometimes listening to others' dua is encouraging, but we should raise our own. Okay, very good point. Someone's asking a question about life insurance policies. That's a very complex, complicated kind of thing. I'll ask you to kind of send in your question. You can email it to Qalam as well, info@qalaminstitute.org, so that we can then either direct you to a resource that is a little bit more detailed. But in this particular session like this, answering a question about a life insurance policy is very challenging because there's some follow-up questions I would have in order to assess, you know, the nature of the policy and things like that. All right. And okay, I think that that answers most of, if not all of the questions that we had for today. I know that we had gotten some questions over here, trying to scroll through and see if I can answer them. After Taraweeh, why do some people continue with one extra raka'ah after the dua? I'm not really sure. I'm assuming maybe they're praying their witr. What about tasting toothpaste? Does that break your fast? Not tasting it, swallowing it would actually break your fast. Should somebody memorize a few surahs versus trying to get through the entire Quran? Both are good. Whatever floats your boat. All right. Whatever keeps you more engaged, do that. All right. We answered that question. And the person, what should a person do if wudu facilities are closed due to COVID? Then inshallah, get a little creative. Keep a bottle of water in your car and make wudu in the parking lot. All right. Okay. And are there any factors that restrict dua? Technically, yes, there are. Somebody deliberately engaging in, you know, haram, like earning their livelihood deliberately through haram, can restrict a person's dua. You know, deliberately severing relations with a family member can actually restrict a person's dua. So you want to be careful about those kinds of things. Okay. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in to the FAQs, the daily Q&A sessions that we are having. We're going to continue to keep on having these throughout every single day for the rest of the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, we're going to try to find a way to do this on a regular basis, even after Ramadan is over, inshallah. As always, please, you know, continue to benefit from all the resources that Qalam is providing. Remember, this Saturday night, the 27th night, we're going to be having the Qalam Qiyam. Beautiful program. So please tune in. Right, if you go to qalamlive.com, you can sign up for the event, so you'll get reminders. It'll be on your calendar and you won't miss it. And then lastly, please go to supportqalam.com and support the work that we are doing. Keep the work going. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu fikum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.